The following podcast is a presentation of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
Very early. once you've got your overall structure, start filling it in and adding in notes and information that you think is important to make your outline business plan possible. What do you include in it? Well, obviously, you want to include the concept. As I said before, I'm sure by now you've noticed concepts coming up over and over as you go through class. Once you remove concepts, you want to find cases and hypotheticals that illustrate those concepts. Yeah. sure it's not too long to do that. What I found helpful for closed book exams is doing an outline, and from my outline would be flashcards. So that might be a tip that helps anything that's a list of elements or things like that. Using those two study tools together is really helpful. Such anything is a really sympathetic job for these books. You're really going to hurt yourself if you try to memorize any patient.
One star in the universe of your course. So outlines we put together when we were first year students. So contracts and consideration needs to enforce, and then these are the elements you've got to have there. And then the person, the things that just listed the restatement that you needed to use for that. You see how it's just underlined? There's not much on the page here. I think law students tend to put the case name up front in their case briefs and then write the rule book behind it. But we tend to think about it in reverse, because when you're writing an answer to an exam question, you're basically writing, this case is like this. This came our case because there was consideration, because there was no smoking or drinking, whatever, and then you write the case name. That's how the answer and the exam is sort of structured. Not a lot on here, though. But I think you get the material that you need real quick, you can get in and out of this concept of consideration. Promissory estoppel from contracts. Pretty basic. I mean, there's six bullet points there, six elements. You don't really need to, like, write these things out in great detail, because you have a closed book exam. You basically just need to memorize these elements and know something about it. Also, give yourself some credit. You guys are working so hard. The process of law school is just so work intensive that you remember cases and facts from these cases that show these elements, so you don't need to put much more here. You're going to study this. You're going to know this material inside and out. Even if you don't even work that hard, like, you're just going to know it all. It's a crazy process, and you'll see what I mean after it. You don't need to get crazy with the details. Courts, negligence, get your elements real quick. Negligence formula, which a lot of some professors use, some don't. I know in these cases, if you don't know these cases, these case names, that's okay. Not every professor uses the same cases. But even this negligence formula is kind of long. I mean, look at that. Like, if this was an open book exam, you'd have to read all of that while you're thinking about answering your question. So that's kind of a lot. You can even simplify that even more. But, you know, L equals BPL, right? Like, negligence BPL. Pretty easy. This is an example of an overly detailed one. This actually comes from my torts outline when I was a first-year student. Pearson versus Buick Motor. I don't think that was a really important case in the grand scheme of things. I know we ran it towards the end of the semester, and I mean, I could have told you about this in two or three bullet points. Two bullet points probably would have hurt. I mean, my torts exam was open book, so I had this. I was kind of afraid that if I didn't have the security blanket here, that, you know, I was going to forget something, and better to be safe than sorry. But really, like, that what was really an insignificant case in the grand scheme of things. Like I just said, look, 30,000 feet, we'll get to the grand scheme of things. One more example of an overly inclusive outline. Belzoni versus Bush. Look at the top. It's not Donald Law. So, what's going on? Why is it right? You're like, well, I don't know. Like, are we going to get into hypotheticals here? I mean, at some point, this was Donald Law. Well, really, like, this is where Allison was talking about, you know, use your professors. They're your best resource. That's, you know, you're not going to use stuff. You're not Donald Law. But if you have a question about that, professor would be the first person to ask. As far as the closed book exams go, my opinion on that is you guys are actually in really great shape, because you will be forced, before you even get into the exam, and you're in your studying period and your outline period, to really get the nuts and bolts of your course, for your courses. An outline is great because it's a safety blanket, basically. It's nice to know, but Jimmy was saying, you know, 4-hour exam, you're writing for 4 hours, pretty much. I mean, these exams, like, when you type them out, they're really, really long. You write a lot in 4 hours. So you don't have time to be speaking to a document. And if you plan to rely on a document during the exam, then you're not well prepared enough. All the heavy lifting has been done beforehand. So your professors have done you a favor, even though I'm sure some of you don't think it is. They've done you a favor in that they've forced you to get your work done beforehand. And, you know, the real value add here is the mental processes, the synthesization process you go through the week before. So don't anybody worry too much about those finals. Most law school exams aren't. Most of them are open. But I think having had both first year, I think there's a real advantage to a closed book exam.
I will say, I did better on my closed book exam the first semester than I did the open book exam the second semester. I don't know right now which professors you're going to have, so I don't know. I have no idea if you're going to have open book next semester. But like Charlotte was saying, I fell into the trap of relying on my outline as a crutch. And I even had three
hearing, you're going to remember way more about these cases. Like McPherson, I didn't need to write all that because I just remembered some of it. But because you care about it and you're not there remembering it, really, it does, your brain does remember so much more than you can.
Let's say you have $50 to spend. Would you rather buy a horn book or a Q&A?
I'd use that.
All right.
So what would y'all do?
I don't know what a Q&A is.
Like just a questions and answer. Like just
an A&E is sort of
examples and explanations.
Yeah, examples and explanations. Yeah, $50. It really depends on you got to know yourself and you have to know how well you know the course. First semester, first year, I bought E&Es for all three classes. Didn't crack them for torts and contracts, and did really well, and absolutely learned Cipro from the E&E. So, yeah, this is a security blanket thing. Like, if you feel like you need them, I think E&Es are great because it's a practical application, and it's taking the theoretical and putting it into a practical aspect, part of the business side of the process. But I would go through the
professors?
These actual professors give you if you meet with them about it.
The more detailed your questions are, the better you walk into the professors. This is just a general thing. Walk into the professors and say, what do I need to know? You're not going to get a good and a good response from them. However, if you've developed your outline and you're really stuck on Montessori's level, for example, if you walk into the to see Professor Carroll and say, well, this is, I'm stuck on this. I keep thinking, I need to know 5 pages of an outline on this, but it seems like there's some opportunity to help me narrow this down. Am I on the right track? That is going to be much more helpful for you, and the professor is going to be much more patient with specific questions like that. The question.
Just a scheduling question. On the syllabus for contracts, we have a class scheduled the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving.
That's up to your professor. I'm going to hold that class.
The college is open.
The college is open.
Do you write the exams or type them?
I wrote the first semester and then I typed the second semester.
Is it a choice?
It's been my professor. Because some professors say you can only do the exam soft. And some professors say that you can do both. Well, you can just do both exams.
No, I mean,
we're
using that like exclusively.
I have to pay attention to that. Yes, go find your professor.
Just ask your professor if you're allowed to have a choice, type or write. If you're going to type, I would bring my little thumb drive and save to that as well as your computer every like 30 minutes or so, because there are horror stories of people just passing through all the exams and like run up to the front of the room and get a blue book and it's writing. So if you're going to type, be prepared. Bring something else to see what's going on. I would just do whatever you do in class. If you write your notes in class and that's how you come home, that you're going to type in class, that's how you're going to come home. I've done three tests for different ways. I used the ExamSoft software, which is, Charles doesn't know if the school's actually using it anymore. It's a software that locks down your computer, and all you can do is type in that program, and then you have things submitted electronically. And then I typed out just on the professional ones, just our regular computers, and type it and print it out all day. I got a hand exam, but I liked handwriting because my thoughts were a little better. But like Jimmy said, it really, whatever is best for you. We'll have scratch paper and stuff.
Yeah, I like to outline mine in hand, but